You aren't being a proper woman, therefore you must be a witch. You must be a witch.
Welcome, Melissa Baisha. I'm so happy to have you here today because you were one of the first ever guests on the Missing Witches podcast, for one thing. And you came in your capacity as an Ayurveda and someone who helps people to find their inner healer, heal themselves. But for our purposes today, kind of a little bit more importantly, is that you, as a grocery store manager, have found yourself on the front line of this COVID business. So I was hoping you could bring some of the, here's what's going on, here's what I've noticed, here's what I'm feeling, but tempered with the, I'm an Ayurveda and I've studied balance. So maybe if you could talk to our listeners a little bit about what you've been going through these past few weeks.
Thank you for having me. I feel very honored. I'm such a big fan of you personally and in your podcast and the beautiful work that you do, really reaching out to so many people, connecting us. So I'm, wearing a couple of different hats. So working in a grocery store during this pandemic has been obviously a bit overwhelming, to say the least. It just happened so fast and is so quick, like emergencies do, right? So it's not like a planned thing. It's not like you're all set up and ready to go. It happened, I think, maybe it was a buildup. And then, the Thursday that the panic broke out here in Montreal, well, one of the first places or the first place that you would have seen and felt it was the grocery store, when every single person in the city ran out to their grocery stores and went hog wild and was filling up like there's no tomorrow, and all the meat and all the cheese. And so it was real, like a hamster. We were just in a wheel, and it was chaos. So it was like managing chaos, an unexpected chaos. So it pulls out all those qualities in you, fight or flight, and each person reacts in their own way. Everyone has a different way to react to these kind of stresses. So I've been in it for over a month now, and I just came to a burnout. Yeah, and I had to take, luckily I was able to take a little bit of time off because I was displaying a lot of physical symptoms that was like an alert, and I had to just stop.
Mm-hmm. And we're thinking in this moment that your physical symptoms are related to stress and burnout more so than they are to a viral infection.
Oh yeah, we should definitely clarify that. Oh my God. Yes, the symptoms are not the COVID symptoms. Definitely stress related. So a lot of inflammation, extreme inflammation. I had to use like cooling gels like all day long and spray and things like that.
And so how did being like an Ayurvedic practitioner inform how you dealt with this crisis, both at home and in your workplace, like as a human being and also as like a frontline martyr?
Yeah, it's a really interesting time that you're asking me that, because I think before I would have said, it would have prepared me for self-care during that time, which I was doing. But at this level of emergency, let's, lack of a better way to explain it, at this level, honestly, the Ayurvedic studies just gave me a foundation, but it wasn't enough. It wasn't enough. And actually last night I went to an online support group that's offered by a psychologist in the city. It's quite amazing, for free, offering any frontline workers twice a week a group session. Like I'm so utterly grateful and impressed that she's doing this.
Yeah, Let me just make it clear for our listeners. A psychologist has set up a Zoom for frontline workers, and we will post this link on our social media and in the show notes for this episode. If you are a frontline worker, if you are a psychologist, even this is something that maybe you could start up in your hometown, because I know, Melissa, this, you just did this last night, but we spoke briefly last night and you found it to be extremely valuable. So let's get into that. How what happened in this session? Who was there?
Yeah. So there's maybe three counselors, like the two support counselors and the therapist. And then there was a police, a female police officer, another woman who was working in the healthcare, so going into seniors' homes, going into all kinds of homes for the sick and elderly, and then myself. So I was so nice. It was a small group, especially for a first time. So we all had lots of actually space and time to contribute and talk.
Was it specifically targeted to women, or was it just women who showed up?
Just women who showed up. Yeah. It was the second meeting, so I guess, too, it's also still new. But I think it would have been just as good, you know, men or women.
Yeah. So I think a lot of our listeners, whether we're on the front line, or I know personally, my spouse has been called back to work. He will be back on Monday, going back into the city, and I'm nervous, you know, everybody who is nervous, everybody is, I was going to say everybody who dot, dot, dot is nervous, but no dot, 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 everybody is nervous, point final. So please, like, lay on us some of the tips and tricks that these therapists gave you.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that, because that's a great place to start. And then I don't mind giving a couple of Ayurvedic tips after too, you know, for a more holistic view for food and things like that.
Yeah. And again, listeners, Melissa even pointed out, like, she is a trained, certified Ayurvedic practitioner, and she's not here to tell you that she's got some herb that's going to cure COVID. Even she said it's not enough. Ayurveda is a beautiful practice and it's amazing for wellness, but this is a virus that's not going to be cured by turmeric, right?
Exactly. That's basically where Ayurvedic stops, is where it's acute. So acute things, like, and that's what the Western medicine is based on, emergency medicine, wartime, like, that's what it's for. Ayurveda is more in the preventative, you know, it's, you know, they can, you know, little acute things, but things like this, like I said, it wasn't enough. So one of the things that I learned in the meeting was to do the opposite of what I would normally do. So this is what I found, that everything I was doing Ayurveda wasn't enough. So what did the therapist tell me? Do the opposite. And you know what? I feel so liberated. So doing the opposite was, instead of feeling like that soldier holding down the fort, that serious person at the grocery store that's there to, like, which was killing me, basically, what she was saying is be playful. Be playful. Be light. Be silly. See it as a game. I was like, oh my God. So I felt like she helped me to give myself permission to actually see things differently, because the way I was seeing things in my mind on a high vigilant mode, mm-hmm, and accumulated fight or flight stress, seeing things that were, you know, imagining things that were not actually happening, was, she was saying that the brain, doesn't matter what you see or think, it reacts as if it's real. So if you're thinking thoughts that are not actually really happening all day, your body is going to stay in that stress mode if you're thinking stressful thoughts. So she said, look it, for you to be healthy and reduce your stress, which is your duty, she didn't say this is your duty, but basically, right, it means think about things that make you feel good.
Okay, now Amy the cynic is going to show up in here and be like, easier said than done, Beisha. Easier said than done. So I know a lot of us have to put on a game face to even sort of confront any of this. So did this therapist give you any particular tricks to like get back to that playfulness or find that playfulness?
Yeah. Well, she said in the morning, she has a I don't know if I should tell the secret, but she didn't say not to tell. She has a 7-minute magic cure. She didn't call it magic cure, but basically it is a magic cure.
We're going to call it 7-minute magic.
For this magical podcast.
Yeah. The title of this episode is going to be 7-minute magic to cure your COVID. With Beisha. Yeah.
But I already tried it this morning and I already feel changed from last night. So 7-minute is 7 minutes in the morning before you go in your day. You're setting your intentions and you're doing positive self-talk. So you're spending 7 minutes talking to yourself and saying sentences that you need to hear all day long. Like, you got this, don't worry about it. I can't think of all the ideas now, but
those of us who struggle with anxiety outside of a catastrophe or critical situation like this are well accustomed to the mirror talk.
Yeah.
You got this. You can do this. I really, inside and outside of catastrophe, I really recommend that everyone just take a minute and like go to a mirror and really like look yourself in the eyes and give yourself a pep talk like you're talking to someone that you love and care about. Because ideally, you are someone that you love and care about, right? Let's take a deep breath together right now, everybody. You got this.
You got this.
We can do this.
We can do this. You're amazing. You're wonderful. You have so many gifts to give the world with your smile and your beautiful energy. And to affect others and yourself with joy. It really sounds like a surprise that this is one of the self-cares that's going to work during an emergency. I mean, this sounds like the lightest thing that you would do on a day you stubbed your toe and you said, it's okay. No.
Or almost like, how dare you? How dare you suggest I be joyful? Like my parents are sick. How dare you?
That this is what's happening is that our brains are going into auto drive, into all these negative scenarios and fear-based like loops, and sending our bodies into like a cortisol fight or flight. And watching the news and worrying it's just too much. And so each one of us, as a therapist was saying, is responsible for our own self-care. And so starting with the mind, in terms of, you know, like mental health, which we know people don't talk about, but that's one of the most painful parts about human suffering is what we do to ourselves in our mind. So, I mean, I've only been to one meeting, but basically she said, you know, decide how you want to be. Decide how you want to be. And I didn't even think of that. I was just rushed in the mode of like, you know, soldier. And it was killing me in the end. And now I'm going to choose to be, I'm not going to be a soldier anymore.
What are you going to be?
I don't know. I'm still working on that, but I'm gonna dream something that's gonna make my insides feel like rainbows. This sounds ridiculous.
It does, you know. It does sound ridiculous, but like I'm sure that all our listeners are like feeling that same kind of ridiculous right now. Where like, again, like half of us is like, "How dare you suggest I be joyful?" And the other half of us recognizes that's the only thing we can possibly do. Again, there are more tangible things that we can do. You know, we can do these Zoom meetings. We can make donations. We can sew masks. We can stay home. We can not go and protest the virus. I'm not sure if a virus will bend to political will. But let me get back to this, because a lot of people have just been, I mean, it's a luxury really to be at home during this. So, and you're only speaking on your own behalf. Obviously you're not speaking for all, you know, societal support workers, but what's so hard about it? Why is it so draining?
Well, I'll tell you, what came up in the meeting too is that there seems to be, Amy, you know me, you know I think like this, and I know it's something of one of your pet peeves about me, but I'm like, there's two kind of people in the world. There's two kinds, there's only two.
Melissa Bacia always thinks there's only two kinds of everything, and you know my thoughts on two kinds. So many kinds. Okay, but there are two kinds of people in the world, let's just say.
Ones that are going to take this seriously and ones that are not. The ones that are still going to do social distance and the ones that are going to have a hard time doing it. So when you think of it that way, and this is something that all three of us, the woman who worked in healthcare, the police officer and I, all came to the same points. What was difficult is, okay, there's two points and there's two kinds of people. The two points are, one is dealing with the people that are not following the rules, which make it really, really frustrating to work in an environment where people are not social distancing or not taking it seriously. And the other is working with people who are all afraid and overwhelmed. And so when you're in an environment, let's say for my personal example, like I can see maybe 100 people in a day and everybody's coming in with the masks and the gloves and the fear. So, and there, I think there's two kinds of people. One is a very sensitive type who tend to absorb feelings or be sensitive to their own feelings and feelings of others. And the other type who are less sensitive to feelings, but they're more like strategic. They see all the different situations. I'm getting kind of wordy here, but basically you can get taxed on either side. I get taxed because I get overwhelmed by all the amount of people who are all panicking, and I'm absorbing the energy from all the people as well as myself. And so there is no space to, there's just no space to breathe. And the shallow breathing, because you're constantly in this overwhelmed state. So that's why I'm so grateful for this, for the mental health check, because that's something that can help me. Like I said, I'm doing yoga, I'm doing meditating at home, I'm going for walks, I'm doing so many things that I've learned through my Ayurvedic studies. I'm taking different herbs for anti-inflammation, and that still wasn't enough. So until I tackle the, or I welcome in, you know, different kind of mindfulness, so that the level of, medicine, like doing it like I'm taking medicine, then I think I'll be able to handle going back to work, which I still get another week off, thank God. So I have a week to work on it to prepare myself.
And can you speak any more, again, you work in grocery, can you speak any more to the similarities and the differences that you found with the people in this group? There, you said there was a police officer and a healthcare worker. And can you speak to the similarities and differences of your experience?
We talked about dealing with the public and coworkers. So for myself, coworkers, sometimes I found it difficult. A lot of them, especially young people, this is what it came to too, unfortunately, but we were relating, a lot of the young people we work with don't seem to take it as seriously. And so they're not keeping the social distance between coworkers. They're sitting right beside you, right beside each other, right after you've been exposed to the public. So a coworker, same as the healthcare worker, is the, often there's no, it's difficult to work and keep the social distance. So that was one. And then working with, like the police officer was saying, working with the public, you know, she's like, nobody wants me to come into their car window right now. And I don't, nor do I want to go into their car window. Like it goes both ways. And so, you know, just having to deal with the public and coworkers during this social distancing, and it's just something all frontline workers, I think, I don't know all, but all that are working with the public are all dealing with the same set of stresses, the overwhelmed stresses. And I mean, and that's what it came to. Sure, there's other job stresses, but basically what we were all talking about in the meeting and relating to were those two points, the difficulty in keeping social distance coworkers and with the public because of what we do. And so that added another level and layer of frustration on a situation that's already uncomfortable and frustrating, as well as being either, like I said, either you're the type that absorbs others' feelings or even just mentally absorbs the complexity of looking at everyone's situation, one or the other, like whatever type you kind of fall into. It's another level of overwhelm already on your job, which is already, you know, demanding as it is. So making it 10 times harder to work. And internally, I mean, you have to keep a mask on that says, I'm fine. I'm here. I'm here to serve the public.
But inside, sorry, just, you know, a metaphorical mask in addition to your actual mask.
You're so right. Both.
Both. Yeah.
Yeah. Literal and metaphorical masks. And let's not joke around. Wearing a freaking mask for 8 hours has its own level of suffering right there. You're constantly trying to breathe and not touch, and gloves, and going to the washroom and washing your hands and moving your mask. And even just that alone is like another layer of like frustration. It's like being itchy and someone is bumping into you constantly and you can't do anything about it. I mean, it's comparable to those kind of things.
Yeah. So, yeah. Like I was saying, my spouse is in construction, which it was just decided is essential because people are expecting to move back into their homes. I mean, if people are expecting to move July 1st, that's sort of how it works in Montreal, is everyone moves July 1st. And because he's in construction, you know, he has certain masks that are quite good, you know, like for, you know, sanding plaster, like you have to. And so we were talking about how difficult it is to breathe in these masks. And so it's the irony of like difficult to breathe now or difficult to breathe later if I don't wear this mask. Like, again, everything is just this nebula. There's no clear anything, which is what's really upsetting about the whole thing for me, is that there's no clear information. There's no clear anything. And I'm somebody who, like, as much as I love my emotions, I thrive on facts. I love statistics. Give me evidence, you know, tell me the one voice I can listen to. But there isn't one voice that I can listen to and like have any kind of scientific or spiritual faith in.
It changes by the hour. And I think that's also part of this volcano hype feeling that we're all going towards the top of the mountain together with this modeling and the numbers. And I had to stop. I think it's 5 or 6 days now I've stopped. And oh my Lord, I'm telling you, yeah, just to try to like figure things out. It's like 10 puzzles all at once, dumping it on the floor and saying, okay, go, you know.
Yeah. That's good. It's like, it's not like we're trying to do a puzzle, all of us together right now. It's like someone has taken 10 boxed puzzles and dumped them together onto the floor and mixed them around, and we're working on 10 and we don't know which pieces.
And no one's done it before.
Yeah. Unprecedented is the word that has been going around. Yeah. And again, listeners, like, however you're dealing with this, maybe it is the right way of dealing with it. Maybe it's not, because we don't know. We don't know what the exact right way of dealing with this is. So again, maybe you're dealing with this right. Maybe you're dealing with this wrong. Either way, let's not judge ourselves. You know, like Maya Angelou said, when you know better, you do better. Right now, we don't know any better. So we're going to try to do better. Right? Okay, let's go with try to do better. Okay, as a grocery professional, not as a medical expert, because we're not giving anybody medical advice here. We do not have the knowledge or the training, or other than like wash your hands and stuff that's common sense. We're not, obviously. But as a grocery professional, what advice can you give to the listeners who are like going to buy food for themselves or their family? How can they make that safer for themselves, safer for you, less of a toxic stress cloud for everyone involved? What tips can you give grocery shoppers right now?
I'll go back to my number two. I have two tips. One tip is, I mean, after seeing so many things going on, these are honestly the most important at this time in my store, in my town. So I can say about that, which may or may not relate to you, but maybe worth considering. One, when you're allowed to go in the store after waiting in your lineup, you're allowed in, take a quick scan. If someone's not already telling you where to go or where to start, take a quick scan and see if everyone is in the fruits and vegetables department. Do not go there. Look for the empty aisle and start there, because we're having a lot of difficulty directing each and every single person to all the empty spaces. We need you to take your common sense with you to the grocery store. I know you've never been through that either, and you don't know what to do, and you just want to be led into what to do next, as we're already telling you what to do with the gloves and everything. But we need you to bring your common sense with you and help us where we can't always be there. So choose the empty aisles. Choose the empty spaces. You'll get it. You'll get everything you need, and you'll get the best we all can, and you'll get it done. But that's number one, because that's making it very difficult for everyone to keep social distancing, and it's frustrating everyone, clients and coworkers and people who work there alike, and it's not safe that way. And then two, we know how frustrated you are to be in that incredibly long lineup. And rain or snow or whatever the weather, I've been in line at least lineups. I know it's frustrating. We know that. But when you come in, try to leave that first round of frustration at the door. You're going to have another round of frustration when you come into the store. If you load up your levels of frustration by the time you get in there and take it out on us, we're going to close the store and revolt and not serve you anymore.
And shit just got real. Shit just got real, y'all.
We won't let you in, and you'll starve to death. So be nice. I'm sorry. I was not planning to say that. I'm sorry.
No, that, I mean, honestly, like, that is very good advice. And
not perfect, and we don't have this perfect. So customers are coming in and they're getting upset with maybe something they see that's going on, but we're still working at this new system too. We have never had it like this before. So please be gentle with us too. I know you think we're a big government system, we're all this infrastructure, you're righteous and you're right, it should be this way, but we're all still riding this boat together, working towards making it harmonious, and it's not right now. So just to A, have your common sense, and B, try to be mindful. It's not a perfect system yet. There's going to be flaws. So just try not to take it out on each other. And you'll do that. And you're human too. We all have our moments. But from my perspective, it's getting hard to see.
Yeah. And I mean, you were pushed to the point where you're lucky and privileged. And it feels weird to say that, because you are on like a week stress leave right now. But some people aren't even in a position to be able to take that week of stress leave. What can you say to those people who are in the grocery stores like you, who are working? What ray of light and can you give them?
Talk to each other. Keep talking to each other. Keep your lines of communication with your coworkers open. You have to let out your stress. You can't keep it inside. And you can't release it in a negative way. So the more you keep talking to each other about what's happening and your frustrations, you'll be able to carry on. It's really what was saving me in the end, and I kept being so grateful. Any tiny little conversation in between coworkers to just release what's happening, kind of like what the support group is. It's just a space to release the pain. So you have space to refill a little bit with that little smile, or that, oh, someone understands you behind this mask. I mean, ideally you give each other a hug, because that's what humans need, is just to release the stress and feel better by a hug, but we can't hug each other. So
let's do that right now. Melissa, I can see you. You can see me. Listeners, you can hear our voices. I know it's not the same, but let's try it anyway. If you could wrap your arms around each other, around yourself, excuse me. If you could wrap your arms around yourself, try to get those fingertips as close to their spine as you can, and just give a little rock back and forth. Give yourself a friggin' hug, man. And if you are lucky enough to not be alone during all this, you can go find your pet or your kid or your spouse. Maybe give them a hug too, you know, ask their permission first. If we've learned nothing from this, is that personal space is valuable. But our, even if, you know, I, you know, like I say, you know, my spouse is going back to work and I'm scared. He has been, getting under my nails being in the house, so that's valid too. I want to be honest out there, everybody, you know, it's valid too if your soulmate is starting to get on your nerves.
But you know I wanted to say something about that before. I have a friend who works in the auto body, and he's been going to work, and the symptoms are the same. It's like, I mean, there's varying degrees, depends on personality types and depends on your job. But I think basically it's this, everyone is having the same experience. And what is that? Stress. Stress is what we are all sharing in common, and fear and stress. And so that creates all sorts of symptoms in the body, but it doesn't matter what you're doing. We're all experiencing a very similar experience. So whether you're the grocery store or construction or staying at home, there's this similarity in what's happening to all of us. So if I can just touch back on the mental health, because as we know, people are trying to talk more and more about the importance of it. Well, if this doesn't shine the brightest light on mental health ever, and especially after the cleanup of, and the mental health of, the post-traumatic stress disorder, which may arise in some people, like after 9/11, like that people have been mentioning, like this is actually why the therapist wanted to give this group, because she said, because what's going to happen is people are going to have a post-traumatic stress disorder if they don't talk about it and they don't learn to lower their stress now, midway point. So look at your mental health. How are you dealing with your mind on a daily basis? And what can you do to make that space more gentle and comfortable?
And you know, it's funny because you got me to thinking that, like, I've been doing interviews for the podcast for a year and a half, 2 years now. And this is like, I always ask the question, you know, of like, what do people need to be doing, or whatever context it is, whoever I'm speaking to. And the answer, like 9 times out of 10, is like, listen and talk, talk and listen. And it just occurred to me that this keeps coming up over and over and over again. And specifically last week, I was speaking to Amanda and Michelle, that storytelling is so many different kinds of healing. Whether it's ancestral stories and learning them and sharing them, or just our own personal feelings. You know, a therapist is great. If you can access a therapist, that's great. Maybe you have a friend who's willing to take on the emotional labor of being your therapist. And please, once again, like, get consent before you unload on someone, especially in these times. Melissa's being very, very, like, responsive with her face, but she's not saying anything. So, Melissa, do you want to respond?
No, it's a great point. I mean, that's one thing. When I was saying that at work, what can you do? Well, that's true. Like when I was saying, talk to each other is something accessible and really helpful, but you have to be sensitive enough to read that person's body language. Are they able to handle anything you're going to say right now? Or are they already at their max? Mm-hmm. And not everyone's good at reading each other's body language. So if you have a hard time knowing that, especially with the masks on, you can't tell. True. Ask for consent.
Yes. Ask. I mean, I'm a big believer in, like, you know, all witchcraft aside, like, I don't expect anyone to be a mind reader. So if you want to know something, ask them. If you know, I do want to say, like, because, you know, we're wearing these masks, both metaphorical and literal. My spouse is already, like, a very kind of intimidating looking character. So I don't know if you listeners out there ever watched America's Next Top Model, but Tyra Banks, one of her things was smiling with your eyes. Smizing. So my spouse and I were practicing smizing, you know, he had his mask on. And I'm like, try to make yourself look non-threatening. So maybe practice your modeling at home, you know, try smiling with your eyes. Mm-hmm. But definitely, like, and this is something that we can carry with us, hopefully, like, ask permission before you unload. But also, like, recognize how important it is to friggin' unload. Just find a good, healthy place to unload, you know? You can dump your garbage in a responsible place. You can't just throw it out your car window. It's kind of like that, right?
Yeah. And ask your friend. Reach out to your friends or your coworkers, your family members, and actually say it. Are you okay? Do you need to talk about anything? Because a lot of people just won't. And they'll hold it in. They just, you know, their personality types make it difficult to talk about how they feel or what they're thinking. They don't want to burden others. So sometimes
people like that are often just waiting for someone to ask them so that they can say, so that they can answer.
And I tend to fall into that. I'm so lucky to have you, Amy, and you'll say to me, "Are you okay? Do you need to talk?" And I'm so over the moon grateful, because I tend to be like that. I can tend to be a bit shy to, I always want to be the tough one, to be the strong one. But without having people that love you and say that to you, you could just, you know.
Well, you know, besides like loving you as a friend, you know, I'm here, I'm in the woods. I'm in an extremely safe and privileged position right now. So my thought is, like, well, what can I do? Like, what can I do? And I mean, one of the most joyful things is that I can offer an ear and a shoulder to a dear friend who happens to be on the front line. But then I can think of myself as supporting, you know, grocery workers. So it's a win-win for me. I get my altruism rocks off. I get to feel good about myself. And I get to connect with a dear friend. I mean, you know, definitely doesn't cost me anything.
And you just, and what do we get when we talk to loved ones? We just go, our body goes into this, your belly can relax, someone's there with you, you're sharing. It's somehow like a flower is getting fed the sun and the water it needs. Like, that's what makes it so unique as human beings and the plants. They're connected through their roots and through the soil, but, you know, as what do you call it? We're walkers. We're like earth walkers. We have different ways to connect. And talking is maybe like part of how we spread the roots out. And to return to help each other, return to homeostasis. Like magic, right? We can't even describe. We can't even, like, this is all pretty out there and complex. But I could feel it. I'm sure your listeners feel it. This talking is like magic.
Yeah. So let's return momentarily before we wrap up to the 7-minute magic. Can you as a yogini, can you guide our listeners for a couple minutes on a little bit of compassion and common sense?
You know, the me before Amy would say yes. The me today, I'm learning to say, no, I don't have it in me today. And you know what? You know, and I'm trying to honor what I'm learning and to be honest. And I don't have it in me. I feel more like crying. I feel more like I'm, you know, I don't have enough to give yet, to be honest. I need another week. What I would love if there's any listeners, if they had any self-talk sentences that they love, if they could share it and they could type it in the messages. I'm actually in the position of needing help.
Okay, listeners, you have your goal. Email us at missingwitches@gmail.com with your positive self-talk, and I will forward all of this positive self-talk onto Melissa. And in the meantime, let's take a deep breath together. Ready? So let's take our common sense and our compassion, and let's take those things with us wherever we go. And let's always take those two things with us wherever we go, whether we find a vaccine, whether things go back to quote unquote normal in italics, bold question mark, normal. Let's take those things with us all the time, our common sense and our compassion. Let those things lead us through our daily life.
Yeah. The bare essentials.
Yeah. And email us at missingwitches@gmail.com with your positive self-talk. And I'm going to forward those sentences on to Melissa for her list so that she doesn't have to take up bandwidth coming up with her own positive self-talk.
Yes. I need your help, everybody. Please. Thank you.
Thank you so much for your honesty and also for saying no. Thank you for being such a good role model to our listeners. Of saying no, of being asked for something that you don't have the energy or strength or whatever it requires, and saying no. And here I am going to be a good role model and say to you, thank you for saying no, instead of getting butt hurt and pausing the recording to give you a tongue lashing. I am going to toot my own horn as I toot yours, and let's like go forward like this. Like, oh, you can't do it right now. Cool. Love you. Let's do something else or whenever you need. Yeah. Compassion, common sense. Any final words for our listeners, Melissa Beisha?
I'm so honored to speak with a community that you've created. It's so magical and special. I'm so happy everyone is out there together. Just say a prayer to show the best way to love each other during this unprecedented like pandemic, how to love each other better, how to love ourselves better.
Yeah.
This is new ground for us, I think.
Yeah. But we have to love ourselves better and we have to love each other better. Bottom line.
Yeah.
And be a witch.
Point final.
Point final.
You must be a witch.